We're reading from the book of Colossians this evening, chapter 1, beginning at verse 24, going through to chapter 2, verse 5. And that's on page 1184 of our church Bibles. Colossians 1, starting at verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Evening, everyone. Do keep Colossians open, please. Hopefully you've got the really helpful handout in front of you that has all the headlines on it. Apologies, this is why printing happens on Friday and prep happens on Saturday and Sunday. But hopefully I'll be clear as we go so you can make notes as we go. Let me pray and then we'll get into Colossians together. Awesome Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, please will we know Jesus more, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of him, our Lord. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Are we willing to struggle for the sake of our church's growth? Are we willing to struggle for the sake of our church's growth? Our main tagline as a church is knowing Jesus better and making Jesus better known. And we say that knowing and proclaiming this Jesus is the most important and the most powerful thing in the entire world. But God's good news doesn't often look like the most powerful thing in the world. I don't think anyone naturally thinks that believers gathering at their churches on a Sunday and in their midweek groups looks particularly impressive. Maybe there are times when we're tempted to think that the gospel of Jesus isn't quite as big and powerful as we've been first taught. It feels like other believers and other churches have a more impressive experience of the Christian life than I do. And maybe that can lead us to feel unholy and a little bit guilty and feeling like a fraud. But that is why this letter to the Colossian church is so good for the church, both then and today. It's written to encourage believers to continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which Paul became a minister. See, if we want to understand how the gospel is powerfully working in the world, then we are to look at Paul and servants of the gospel who joyfully suffer for the growth of the gospel. See, that is why Paul can start this evening's passage by saying, I rejoice in my sufferings, verse 24. And so the question is, am I ready to embrace suffering with joy so that we may grow in knowing Jesus better and make him known to the world? Now, that's the first thing we see at the end of Colossians 1, verse 24, the servant's joy in making the word of God known. See, Paul seeks to encourage the church by focusing in on his suffering, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. A man in chains, beaten for speaking about Jesus, and not recognized or appreciated for being an apostle, and yet Paul's commitment to joy wasn't dependent on pleasant circumstances. And his suffering didn't change through Christ's lordship. See, all people live in a world right now that is filled with pain and sorrow. Christians haven't been rescued from that broken world just yet. So what Paul is saying is that suffering for this gospel, well, there is no better way to spend your life. As the gospel proclaims that Christ suffered to reconcile the church, so must the servant of Christ follow in the pattern for the gospel. But I wonder if you're a bit like me and wonder what Paul meant in verse 24 when he says, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. And it's not like a car that needs filling up over at BP over the road. And we know if we've tuned in to Colossians so far, then we know what Paul doesn't mean. He doesn't mean that Christ's death was lacking anything. I hope we all know that there is absolutely nothing lacking or inadequate about Jesus and his death. In chapter 1 we read, for in him, that's Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It is through trusting in Jesus and his death that God gives us forgiveness of sins and brings us into his kingdom, into his family. His death, Jesus' death, is definitely big enough to save us. His death is sufficient enough for us to grow. And his death is enough to get us over the finish line. And so what I think Paul means here is he's saying that his suffering for Christ's sake is still lacking. It's kind of along the lines of, I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. The lack is on Paul's part, not on Christ. And so just as Christ suffered, now the servant of the gospel suffers in proclaiming Christ. And it's all for the sake of maturity, so that Christ's cross may be fruitful across the entire world. That is why Paul can suffer with joy. But it still seems just a little bit unimpressive, doesn't it? And the Colossians could think of Paul in prison, and they could look to Epaphras, who brought them the gospel in the first place, and they could think of their little friend Tychicus, who brought Paul's letter to them. You've got a prisoner, and you've got good news, and you've got a letter. It's a little bit unremarkable. And that is why Paul reminds us that this really is the big, mysterious, and glorious thing that God is doing in his world. Verse 26. The mystery, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. For decades, there was the known existence of Operation London Bridge, But it was only upon the news of Queen Elizabeth's death that this secret plan was put into effect. And when she died, the Queen's private secretary conveyed the news by ringing up the Prime Minister and used the code phrase, "London Bridge is down." And that was the message that set off a chain of events that ultimately led to the world knowing of her death. In Operation Gospel, for generations, the gospel was a bit of a mystery. The whole period of the Old Testament, God had revealed some of his secret plans, sort of hints towards it. But now, in God's gospel message, God's Son has been revealed to the saints and is being proclaimed throughout his world so that the nations may know Jesus. Verse 27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See how wonderfully brilliant that these non-Jewish Colossians, who were once alienated from God and hostile towards him, he chose to make the glorious and gracious gospel known to them so that they could be included in his people. And just to add to the remarkable nature of the gospel, they now had Christ living in them. And so do we, and do you, and do I remember how brilliant God's rescue plan is for us? God has chosen to make it known to you and to me the riches and glory of Christ, who is in us, who is in you. Of course there are times where we feel unimpressive, but Jesus isn't. And his gospel isn't. See how brilliantly glorious it is that Christ, who rescued us, now dwells in us, is with us. And it's through these seemingly unimpressive, suffering servants of his gospel that the nations hear of Christ and receive him as Lord. And that is why verse 28 and 29, servants of this gospel, they struggle in proclaiming Christ. See, now that God's mystery rescue plan has been unleashed into the world, people's lives can never be the same. Verse 28, him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. See, Paul's job, whether in public, private, prison, in speech, in writing, in life, in mind, whether good times or in suffering, was to make Jesus, to make him known through the preaching of this gospel. Now, Paul's apostolic servant job is not typical of all Christians, but did you spot the "we" of verse 28? All believers are included into this ministry of proclaiming. The church joins in with proclaiming Christ because everybody in the world needs to hear of him. And so we warn everyone because people need to hear that they're captives to the ways of this world. And we teach everyone so that everyone may become entirely focused and directed onto Christ. And the church does this so that we may present everyone mature, perfect in Christ. And Jesus is reordering, reconciling the entire world to himself. And that includes the reordering of our lives. And it is proclaiming Jesus that does this work. So as we hear this proclamation, our lives are reordered under his lordship. And that means I'm going to suffer in my own life. My ambitions, my thoughts, my work life, my home life, my bank balance, my comfort zone and my courage levels as I try and speak to my neighbours about Jesus. My whole life is affected by his lordship. And if our church is to be a church like Colossae, well, are we willing to joyfully suffer to proclaim Christ for the growth and maturity of one another? As we listen to sermons and as we teach one another in growth groups, as we encourage our church to be steadfast in this gospel, as we warn people of sin and false teaching, and as we teach all ages to grow and continue in Jesus, it's all so that we may know him more and mature in him. I wonder if this also means we should ask the question now, are we willing to suffer in our prayer lives, in our comfort, in our vastness on a Sunday morning, and financially, so that we can plant a church in the fullness of time? See, Paul's view on suffering and proclamation is so instructive to us. Servants like Paul, who toil and struggle with great joy for the goal of presenting believers, one another, mature in Christ. And he was only able to do this because, verse 29, Christ powerfully worked in him. And so will we continue to joyfully struggle as servants of the gospel so that we would have this gospel growth mindset to make the word of God known for the good of one another. Because that's what it's all for. Was so that you and I and our church family can all know Christ more and more. That's verses 1 to 5 of chapter 2. The servants struggle for the church to know Christ. See, Paul had never met Colin and Colleen and the Christians at Colossae and the church down the road at Laodicea. But he wanted them to know, verse 1, how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea. And for all who have not seen me face to face. His great struggle was so that, verse 2, that believers' hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wants them to be knit together in love. Love isn't a feeling. Love is what binds us together. And it helps us to grow in the fullness of Christ. And I think we all see the link between love and maturity, don't we? I take my friend Amy. How do I know that she loves her kids really well? She spends her days caring for them, feeding them, playing with them, washing their clothes. And then after they've gone to bed, she sits down, she gets out her knitting needles, she works late into the night stitching jumpers together so that her children can stay warm. That is a picture of what Paul gives us of the church. Paul toiled away so that the church might be knitted together, not with some St. John's jumper, but with God's love. God's love that delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. See, the love of God in Jesus ties us together and it strengthens us. Some of you may have noticed, but I snapped the ligament in the end of my pinky finger earlier this year. And so when it happened, I could lift up my finger and then just watch it sort of collapse and droop down straight away. As soon as I let it go. A church without love is like a body without ligaments. And a church that's weak in love is a body with weak ligaments, just drooping down. And it is the love of God in Jesus that helps us reach maturity. Verse 2 again, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery. So if we want to stand firm, then we need to be held together by the love of God in Jesus. And that happens more and more as we struggle and toil in proclaiming this gospel to each other and to the world. And so when one of us worries that we're not good enough, and we feel guilty, and we feel like Jesus is distant, we proclaim and we remind each other and teach one another that Jesus is enough, and that he loves you, and that he is with you. And if the love of Christ has brought us together, then we're able to stand firm when others want to delude us. Verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. See, Paul was aware that someone or something could easily appear more impressive than a suffering servant. Others may seem more powerful and more knowledgeable than the discouraged believer. Well-sounding people may come up with sort of special messages and occasions that claim to bring you closer to God. And if we have a small view and a weak understanding of this gospel and how much we're loved, well, then it'll be very easy for us to hear and be deluded by fine-sounding arguments. If we haven't been a believer for very long, then it's easy to feel like you know very little. You might be tempted to leave Jesus behind or tempted to add to Jesus. But Paul encourages us that if we know Christ and his death, then we have the person who will help us know more and help us grow more and help us live our lives in a manner worthy of him more. And that is why Paul struggled. That is why he could rejoice of their firm faith in Christ. I think that the majority of us here would love to know Jesus better. And many of us joyfully serving Jesus for the sake of one another. Keep going and keep growing in that attitude. And I think we'd all love to mature in our understanding of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, which is Christ. We'd love to know him more. And so am I, and are we, willing to struggle for that? So that by his power, we might mature in knowing him, being knitted together in his love, so that his gospel may be fruitful in us and in the world, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Let's pray for that now. Awesome Heavenly Father, we thank you for choosing to reveal your powerful gospel to us. We thank you that the gospel is bearing fruit over the entire world. We ask that you would help us to serve and suffer for the sake of one another, and that our mindset will be one of joy. Please help us to proclaim Christ, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone within our church family mature in Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen.